Good morning. It's so good to see you. I want to start off this message by sharing a confession. Some of you are thinking, oh my goodness, what is he going to say? Now, some of you may not know this about me, but here's my confession. I can't see. I am blind. Like, you may not know that, but I have contacts, but literally, I cannot see at all. If I don't have contacts in or glasses, I would be lost in this world. Like, not even funny. Like, can't even, like, see anything. If you were, like, standing 2 feet in front of me trying to read something, I can't even see it. And so, that's just something about me. I can't see. I am lost without corrective lenses. And some of you, if you see me on my day off, which is typically on Friday, I wear glasses, and I typically don't shave that day, you're like, man, you look horrible, Kev. But that's just my reality. That's how I am. I am dependent upon corrective lenses. And I remember when I was in third grade and I got my glasses for the first time. They were like basically magnifying glasses attached to wired frames. I could burn ants and not even realize what I was doing. But I remember like putting those glasses on and seeing for the first time a sign outside of my doctor's office, my eye doctor, and going home, reading the signs as they were passing by. I couldn't believe it. It was almost like I felt like I had superpowers. Like I could see the reality of the world for the first time through new eyes, new lenses. Seeing like the grass, the blades of grass, the detail, the trees, the colors that I was missing without corrective lenses. I felt like my whole world changed. And now maybe for some of you, in fact, I know some of you relate with me. According to studies, the Vision Council of America, they say that 75% of adults use some form of corrective lenses. So maybe for you, you have contacts or glasses, whether it's for seeing nearsightedness, farsightedness, whatever. How many of you in this room have some type of or use some type of corrective lenses in some way? And it only feels like we need to use them more and more as we get older. That's just something that happens to us, right? I know a friend that actually got LASIK surgery. My wife got LASIK surgery when we were first married. It wasn't her necessarily, but another friend of mine just got the surgery, and then like within the next week, he had to get reading glasses. He's like, he couldn't win. It's almost like that's progressive. Like I'm seeing some nudges and finger pointings. That some of you relate with that. You understand that. And if you're like me, and you've used corrective lenses, it changes the game. Our perspective on life is different. And without them, I'm lost. These lenses change the way that we see and perceive everything. It truly enables us to live life more full, right? That's just how it is. And so in today's scripture passage, as I set up what we're looking at today, there's going to be a correlation between the experience of being able to see through corrective lenses and that of spiritual sight and spiritual blindness that Jesus speaks of in today's text. So if you have your scriptures, your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to John chapter 9. You can use the Bible in the chair in front of you, your app, your Bible that you brought with you. The scriptures will be on the screen. But we're continuing our series, week number 6 of a series called Signs. Over the last 5 weeks or so, we've been looking at different signs or miracles that Jesus performed in the Gospel of John that all pointed to who he is, not just a miracle for a miracle's sake, but that reveals more about who Jesus is. John even says, as I said at the beginning of every single sermon in the series, that John says to show that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God, and that by putting your faith and trust in him, you may have life. That's why these 7 signs are in John's gospel. They reveal more about Jesus than we realize. And so we're going to continue looking at the 6th sign today in John chapter 9, if the Bible that's in the chair in front of you, page 869. And as we read here in just a second, I want to just let you know that John is very careful in his writings, that he has other details that many of the other gospel writers do not have. He uses a lot of imagery, and he uses a lot of metaphors, and he's the one that has the signs. The others have the miracles, but don't necessarily refer to them as signs in 7 of them. John also has 7 I am statements that Jesus says. There's a lot of symbolism in John. He kind of looks not just at what's happening, but the bigger picture of the audience at large, including us today. And so there's 3 main themes that John uses as he talks about the life of Jesus. And these themes have been up to this point in John. The first 8 chapters are these 3 things on the screen. First, the sharing of the good news of the kingdom, that Jesus is consistently doing that. Secondly, that Jesus is performing miraculous signs all the time. Again, this is number six today. And then number three, he is challenging the systems around him. Jesus is spreading the good news of the kingdom, performing miraculous signs, and challenging the norms, the human norms and systems that are created around him that he was born into, fully God and fully man. For example, even just the healings on the Sabbath, we saw some of those as a way of kind of pushing against the systems of man. So let's look at John chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, and you'll see these same themes play out even in this text. It says this in verse 1. As he, Jesus, went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, or teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, I just want to stop right there for a second before we continue. A little side note. It's important to notice what Jesus is about to say in verse 3. What Jesus will say, we'll read in just a moment, is he'll say, in answering the question that his disciples asked, did this man sin? Is that why he's blind? Or did his parents sin? Is that why he's blind? I just want to make a point that sin is not the cause of this man's blindness. Right? Our personal sins or our parents' sins don't necessarily have a direct correlation to what happens in our lives. See, it's human nature to think that when something bad happens to us, that we are being punished, that there's a consequence to that. Now, sometimes there is like a cause and effect when it comes to a relationship between our actions and our consequences. For example, some of you today might want to hurry off to wherever you're going this afternoon, and you might be going a little faster in a zone that would say you have to go this speed, and maybe you go a little faster than that speed, and you get pulled over. I've been there many times. I've learned my lesson many times. But in that situation, you're the one to blame. You'll get the ticket. If you do this, you'll get this. Consequences. Cause and effect. But many times in our lives, the effects or the consequences are not because of our actions. They come simply from living in this world that is just twisted with sin. Like there's pain and difficulty, not because of what you did, but maybe just because of the sinful world we live in. Not your parents, not you. There's just some things that our world, because of sin, is just broken. And so I just want to clarify that right now so that you're not living in this almost karma nature. But that's not necessarily true at all, that sin is in this world. But yet the good news is the kingdom is breaking through more and more each day, God's kingdom. And not a direct result of, the sin is not a direct result of something you did or didn't do. So all that to clarify before we go into what Jesus says to his disciples in verse 3. Because they asked, this guy's blind, who sinned, him or his parents? And Jesus responds in verse 3. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We'll come back to that in just a second. Verse 4, Jesus continues. He says, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, I'm going to talk about two things in this section, verses 3, 4, and 5. First off, in a situation where there is pain or difficulty, in this situation, this man is blind. He's been born blind. Jesus, in this moment, the disciples, they ask Jesus, they say, Jesus, why? Why did this happen in our lives? It's very easy for us when something doesn't go the way that we planned, for us to ask God, why? But the better question to ask is what Jesus says here. But this happened so that God may display his power in this situation. When difficulty comes in our lives, instead of asking why, what if our question was, God, how? How do you want to use this to display your power and your mighty works? The power that you are God. You can do whatever you want. Not that God causes those things. Going back to the first question, not that we even cause those. It's just the broken world that we live in. Sometimes those are a cause and effect, but a lot of times it's just because of our brokenness that we need Jesus to heal our world and all creation, and he said he would do so. He's going to make all things new one day. But I just want to talk about that issue. Instead of asking why, ask how. It changes your perspective. It's a new lens that you can put on today, that maybe that's the nugget that you need today. God, how do you want to use this? Because he will, if you allow him. You trust him with whatever's going on. Secondly, I want to continue on the second half of that. If you're familiar with John's gospel, his writing style, verse 5 may cause your ears to ring a little bit, because this theme of light and darkness comes up time and time again throughout John's writing. He uses this metaphor, light and dark. And it's almost like these two polar opposites, like magnets that are pushing against each other. They can't even get close to each other. If you've ever been in a dark, dark room and you turn on a light after your eyes have been adjusted to the darkness, it's almost like shocking. Or when you're in a dark space and you light a candle and your eyes just go towards that one spot. So this image of light and dark are common. Listen to what Jesus talks about this light and darkness, this contrast. I'll have them on the screens here. John 1:5. John writes that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. John 3:19, that God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, or their actions were evil. John 8:12, just the chapter before where we're at right now today, Jesus spoke to the people once more and he said this, I am the light of the world. This is the second time now that we read in 9, this is 8. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Jesus is revealing that he is light. This word picture, he calls himself the light of the world, even the second time in 2 chapters. And it's fitting that we use this illustration because he is standing in front of a blind man who is living in darkness since birth. He's never seen anything. Darkness. And it's not a spiritual darkness as the disciples were accusing him of, saying, is this guy like this because of a sin, this spiritual darkness in his life, or his parents? And also at the same time, Jesus in that passage, he is also talking about a coming night. And we'll see Jesus go back and forth between this metaphor of physical blindness and spiritual blindness. And you'll see how this plays out even in the story as we continue on. So as Jesus is making a point here, he's almost using these puns, these metaphors, revealing more about his identity, who he is. That's what all these signs are about. And so he's saying that spiritual darkness cannot stand when he is present, that he is the light of the world, and that Jesus himself overcomes the darkness in our lives. We have life in his name, that we have light to lead our lives well because of him. So while Jesus is in the world, he's saying that he makes it like daytime, that while he's here, things will be different. It's like daytime when Jesus is here during the daytime because we can see the physical sun as we go outside some of the days recently in the spring, the sun is just shining. It just gives us life and energy in the morning. And he is saying that he is, just like the sun gives us physical light to see and energy, that Jesus, God's son, is offering to be sight for us to see the world and to truly live life through him. The good news is that Jesus shares in this passage is that he is the light of the world. And so what does he help us see? This is not going to be on the slides or on the screens, but there's three things. Jesus helps us see God clearly and accurately. Jesus helps us see ourselves clearly and accurately. And he helps us to see what's true in our world clearly and accurately. He shows light. He exposes the darkness. He pushes it away. Light and darkness cannot be in the same space. And so in this moment, Jesus was declaring that the kingdom of God is at hand, that theme that he talks about again and again in John. That when someone encounters the kingdom of God, they have to change. They cannot stay the same. Nothing will remain the same. And I think about this concept of the kingdom of God. Some of you may have heard me say this before. And I was really confused, like, what is it? Is it here? Is it going to be here? And we'll talk more about this in the future, but very simply, kind of a foundational principle of what is the kingdom of God? Where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is wherever God is king. You think about back in the medieval days when There was a king who had a castle, and he'd overlook his whole land, his region from his castle, which was, I mean, that was common. Everything under that king's authority and rule was a part of his kingdom. And so the same is true in our own lives. If God is the Lord of our lives, the King of our lives, we, the kingdom of God, is present within you. In this place, if God is King, he is why we gather, why we worship him, then the kingdom of God is here. In heaven, where Jesus is, he's interceding on the right hand of the Father for us. The kingdom of God is there. So the kingdom of God is simply wherever God is King. And you see it sprouting up all over the places in our world. That you see it pushing out darkness. That you see light shining, showing us truth and love and hope and grace and forgiveness. So this is what Jesus has been talking about, declaring that the kingdom of God is at hand and things cannot remain the same when the kingdom is present. So when someone encounters the kingdom of God, nothing remains the same. Both the physical and the spiritual are changed by Jesus. So Jesus goes on to share this good news of his kingdom and the life that he offers by performing a miracle in the life of this blind man that we're about to see, standing right in front of him to show everyone that he came to make the blind see, both physically and spiritually. Let's continue on in verse 6 of chapter 9 of John. It says this: after this, he, Jesus, spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Some of you are like, that is the most disgusting thing I can ever think of. Like, why did Jesus, like he did for the Capernaum man, just say, you know what, he's healed? Just say the word and it would be healed. Or why didn't he just simply touch the man? Like, as many other people got healed before in the past by Jesus. Why did he spit on the ground, make mud out of his saliva, and then put it on the man's eyes? Let's continue on. And then he didn't just do that because the man wasn't healed yet, but then he said, go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam, which the word means sent. So the man went, he obeyed and washed, and he came home seeing. So try to imagine what this blind man who's been blind from birth, has never seen anything, he's hearing this conversation with the disciples saying, who sinned, this guy or his parents, that he's this way? And then out of this, he hears someone spit. Hears the spit hit the ground. Then he hears mud being smushed around. And then he feels it on his eye. Like, talk about the most awkward, what is happening right now? Right? Would you be like, what's going on? What's happening? And he feels this mud goes over his eye. This mud, saliva mud over his eyes. And then he hears, go, wash. What's his response? The scripture says he immediately goes to the place, probably had help getting there. He's blind. And he goes there, and he washes, and the scripture says, don't miss this, he comes home seeing for the first time in his life. Not just fuzzy, can't see, can't make out details or read signs. No, he sees for the first time. This is a physical sign of a spiritual reality. Because there's something even bigger happening. This is a sign. Remember, every sign points to something about Jesus, his identity, what we can learn, take away from it. And so the blind man's sight was restored. And so this sixth sign points to Jesus, revealing to us today, if you're taking notes, that Jesus can make the blind see. Jesus can make the blind see. Through Jesus, people who can't see physically can see. And people who spiritually cannot see will be given sight. That he is the light of the world. He comes in to give us the ability to see in the darkness, to see clearly, to be able to articulate what's happening, what is true and what is right. And so the story continues on. I encourage you to read it later, the rest of most of that chapter. I'm going to just highlight what happens next. And we'll land at the last couple verses with our time together here. But so following this amazing sign, this amazing healing, the story continues. And John tells us that the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that day, they heard about this healing of the blind man. And they were furious. They were upset. They weren't in awe. They weren't celebrating. They were furious. Why? because this healing happened again on the Sabbath, which was a holy day. You don't do anything. You do no work. This is how it is. It was originally established through the law of Moses, and they kept this tradition, this heritage, but at the same time, they were like, they took it to the extreme. You can't take this many steps because that will be work. You can't do this, and they just took it so far. The heart was right, but then it came down to the law of the letter of the law for this specific rule that went beyond the way that God intended it to be. That Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so once again, Jesus broke religious rules. And so they quickly summoned the man in who is blind, who now sees, and they asked him some questions. They said, who did this? Like, how did he do it? And shockingly, the Pharisees did not like the answer that this guy gave. I encourage you to read it yourself. And they were searching for someone to discredit this healer, this Jesus, because he must be a sinner. Who else would heal on the Sabbath? Who dare would do such a thing? And so what did they do? They went to the blind man's parents, and they called the parents in, but the parents were afraid to say anything because they were fearful that they would be kicked out of the synagogue. And so they refused to answer, simply saying this to the Pharisees. They said, our son is an adult. He's a grown man. Let him speak for himself. Go talk to him. Don't bring us into this. We don't know how to explain this, or we don't know all that's happened. And so the Pharisees again went back to the blind man, who was now able to see, and asked him some more questions, which we're going to land together in verse 25. And in the end, in a way, it's a funny and yet sad matter and how this concludes. Verse 25 says this, then the blind man replied, he said, whether he is a sinner or not, talking about Jesus, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. My life before Jesus, I was blind. I couldn't see anything. I had an encounter with Jesus. Now I can see. What happened in the middle? The only thing that I know is Jesus interacted with me. I had an encounter with him. He changed me. I saw and experienced his kingdom. And I believed and I obeyed. I can't explain how I got from here to here. I just know in the middle was Jesus. And so they asked him, what did he do to you? And how did he open your eyes? And he answered, I have told you already, and you did not listen. He retells what happened. He spit, he put mud on his eyes. And why do you want to hear it again? He says. Do you want to become his disciples too? Like, you're the religious leaders. Why are you questioning me? I can't tell you. He's God. And then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, the blind man, he says, now that is remarkable. You don't even know where he comes from. Yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, that he listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Religious leaders stepped back. They replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. In other words, who are you? How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Wow, what a crazy encounter that what just happened between the religious elite, this blind man who was blind from birth, and how did the Pharisees respond to this sixth sign? They respond with spiritual blindness. They physically saw a physical healing going from blindness to sight, and they themselves stayed in their spiritual blindness. They were blinded by their system of belief that did not allow them to see what God was doing right in front of them through Jesus. See, they were spiritually blind. In an effort to keep the peace and be obedient to God's commands, they missed what God was doing in that minute, in that moment, right in front of them. The kingdom of God was at hand, and Jesus was demonstrating his claim to be the Messiah and the Savior. He proclaimed freedom for the captives. He even said, sight for the blind, as he began his ministry. The issue wasn't that Sabbath wasn't holy. It was that Jesus had done something holy on the Sabbath. They couldn't see it. It was outside of the box that they put God in, how they thought he should work. And so I don't know about you or me. I know about me. I don't know about you. I very easily put God in a box. I think I know what's best for my life. And I think I know how God works in my life. And there's many times when I say, you know what? I've prayed about that situation. I've done what I can about that situation. It's not going to do anything. It's over. God doesn't care about that. Whatever. In this situation, this reminds us that we shouldn't put God in a box. He is God. He can do whatever he wants to do. And just as we sang earlier, even though we can't see it, he's working. Even though we don't feel it, he's working. He's not done. And the blind man could see. And even his own words, he said, I was blind. Now I see. What is it that you're putting in a box that you say, you know what? It was always like that. It'll never be different than this. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a circumstance. Maybe it's a health issue. Don't give up on the God. How do you want to use this? Not just the why. It's always been like this. So not only was the blind man's physical vision corrected, but he spiritually began to even see differently after his encounter with Jesus. This transformed man speaks to the religious leaders, the elite of the day, the people who studied scripture, spent time in God's presence, teaching others, that he spoke to the religious leaders with a deeper spiritual insight and perspective than even they had, because they were so close to him. He challenged them as the lenses through which he lived his life changed everything for him in his encounter with Jesus. And so the Pharisees, they respond in anger because it questions what they believe. And they would rather remain in their spiritual blindness than to keep face, rather than seeing what happened right in front of them, the kingdom that was bursting forth on that day. In other words, they were refusing to have their vision corrected. They even saw for a second and then took the glasses back. The religious elite in that day, they missed the sign. They missed the miracle. They missed the opportunity to experience Jesus' transformative work and transformative power. They were being obedient to the Sabbath, yes, because it was God's law, but they missed the sign. They missed the miracle, the work of God right in front of them. And I really believe, what if that sign, this sign that we're studying today, was meant to show them and to show us that God was and is doing a new thing? He's not a God that fits into our man-made boxes or boundaries that we put him in all the time. That he can do what he wants to do because he's God. And in this story, Jesus declared that the kingdom is here, that it's starting. It's not fulfilled, but it's begun. It's a here, but not yet totally. He declared the kingdom by giving a sign of his kingdom, this healing of this man who was born blind, and he challenged, like we've said before, the traditional beliefs of that day, just as he's done all throughout John's gospel. And so the story, this message and this story calls out to us today, asking us if our eyes will be open to see and join in with what God is doing today, right in front of us. As we talk about the start of this message, as we age, we often need stronger eye correction, right? Contacts, glasses, LASIK surgery, whatever that looks like, reading glasses to properly see. It's just something that happens as we get older. But in the same way, as we grow deeper in our relationship with Jesus, we should be able to see more of him working around us than we have before. Having a greater understanding and appreciation that he is God and he can do whatever he wants to do outside of the boxes that we put in. Outside of our thought process, we can be spiritually blind or forget that he has a lens that he wants us to look. It reminds me of this illustration. If you've ever had a chance to buy a car, maybe it's a new-to-you car. I don't think I've ever owned a new car in my life. But a new-to-you car. And you do all the research online. You try to figure out what's the color, what's the make, the model, the features. Maybe some of you can relate with this. Maybe you're doing this even right now in your life. And then you find the perfect car, and you go get the deal, and you make this awesome deal, and then you start driving around, and then the next thing you know, you see that car everywhere. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, you're like, I never saw this car before this moment. Or I saw like one that I saw. Now, everywhere I look, that car is all around me. It's even the same color, the same make, the same everything, the same model. It's like that experience, they were there the whole time. You just didn't have the perspective to see them. You weren't thinking about it. You weren't looking for it. In the same way, this is what this story is about. That God is consistently working around us, as we sang, as we talked about. That he is always active in our lives. But sometimes we don't have the eyes to see that he is doing so. Just like this car illustration. That we need just to have a fresh perspective. Understanding that he is God. Outside of what we view of him, or the boxes we put him in, or the things that we think he can and can't do, or the situations or relationships that we feel like, oh, God's not never going to do something there because I've prayed about that, I've thought about that, nothing's going to change. No. Imagine this man who was born blind. He didn't understand all that was going on, but he had the faith to trust and obey, and he did what Jesus did, interacting, participating with the Spirit, and it changed his life. He gained new perspective. And so this sign is a call to see Jesus, what he is doing beyond our current expectations. That very easily we could become spiritually blind. Even if we spend our time in relationship with God, we need to refresh our perspective, our minds, to exchange how we view things with the perspective and the sight of Jesus, that his Spirit, his kingdom is all around us, bursting forth. So my prayer for you today, as we reflect on this sign, is that you would be open, that you'd open your hearts and your minds to have clarity about what God wants to do in your lives, your family, in your situation, in your workplace, in our communities, in our region, in this world, like never before. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you came to reveal your kingdom. That when you even prayed, you said, God, may your kingdom come, may your will be done, earth as it is in. That it's not something that we evacuate to. It's not, I'm going to get out of here, this place is going to hell. And no, it's, yes, there's pain, there's brokenness. We don't understand all the circumstances, why things happen to certain people, but we know that you are the light of the world, that you stepped into this world to expose the darkness, that people like the darkness, it even says in your scriptures. But you give us choice, and today you invite us to step into your light, that you give us clarity about who you are, who we are, and what's true in our world, what you're doing. And so I pray for each person here, the things that are on our hearts and minds, maybe people, scenarios, situations, and that illustration, that picture of a car, a new-to-me car that you see as soon as you get it everywhere. God, would you give us a new perspective, new lenses? Would you awaken the spiritual blindness in us to give us sight? You're a God. Give sight to the blind. Help us to trust you physically, emotionally, spiritually, and relationally. That God, you would do even greater things than we could ever ask or imagine. Nothing is off limits. Forgive us for the times that we put you in a box. May we be people trust you so completely that you blow out the sides, the top, and the bottom, and we see your hand at work everywhere, and that you, thank you that you invite us to participate with you, just like this blind man who had to go wash, and then he was clean. So thank you, God. May we be people who trust you, see like we've never seen. In Jesus' name.